The first reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I'm grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Thank you, Robin. The two texts for this day that Robin just shared are about grace and how we receive grace for others, as well as the gift of grace for ourselves. First, just a little background on the first reading from 1 Timothy. In 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, they're attributed to Paul. But you will notice a subtle difference from subtle but significant differences from the letters that most biblical scholars are written by the apostle. There are a number of clues that help us to see the differences. Some of the key Pauline concepts about faith and law and righteousness take a different tact in 1 Timothy, and there's some new concerns. In the ancient world, it was not uncommon for a follower to write in the style and in the name of a well-known person. And so most folk agree that the Paul who wrote 1 Timothy was a disciple, a follower of the apostle, and was claiming his name for authority. We know that the Apostle Paul traveled around the Roman Empire and wrote a number of letters to churches that he had helped to found. And so the author of 1 Timothy was claiming that authority, probably or at least partly because of what Paul knew about God's grace. People were aware of Paul's story, how as Saul, a man of deep faith, was so sure of himself and what God was calling him to do that he persecuted that early formation, that group that became the Christian church, until God knocked him off the horse on the way to Damascus, temporarily blinded him, until he became aware of the presence and the grace of Jesus Christ. So the author of Timothy must have thought that Paul's experience of the grace of God would inspire and encourage others. So in this text, he talks about being this great sinner who has been found by God, and by God's gracious presence and love has been brought into a new relationship. Now, the two parables from Luke are also about grace. Remember the context. Pharisees and scribes of the law are grumbling, are murmuring, are complaining because sinners and tax collectors are coming close to Jesus and he's welcoming them. He's teaching them. And they're murmuring that he is teaching with and eating with these sinners. And then he tells these two short parables. The story of finding the one lost sheep out of 100 and the lost coin. And the parables themselves make it clear that they're about grace. At the end of the first parable in verse 7, we're talking about sheep here in the story, but then the verse says, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Now, sheep don't repent, but it's a parable about grace. And in verse 10, as she found her coin, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, a question that's posed by these parables to us is, will we join in the celebration? Will we share in God's mercy Will we join in the celebration when God's grace comes upon the sinner? Now, I suspect that almost all of us will just automatically answer, of course. Yes. Sure. What a dumb question he's asking of us this morning. But God's unconditional grace can be challenging and perplexing to us. Typically, we want mercy for ourselves and justice for others. Bitterness can creep in whenever we feel that God is too good to others and not good enough to us. Why the sinner? That's what the Pharisees and scribes were murmuring about. Why should God's grace come upon those who seem to be undeserving? This grace thing can be difficult. We have a tendency to think that not only ourselves, but especially others, need to somehow earn God's grace, God's mercy. It's hard to accept that it's just freely given. Did they deserve it? Did they earn it? In one of the resources that I read and looked at in preparation for this morning, there was a short Jewish story about the good fortune of a hard-working farmer. And the story goes that God came to this hard-working farmer and offered three wishes that God would fulfill, with the caveat that whatever he wished for, his neighbor would receive double. And the farmer was so excited, he immediately exceeded, and he wished for 100 cattle. And he got 100 cattle. And he was joyous until he realized that his neighbor had 200. And so he wished for 100 acres. But his joy was tempered when he came to realize immediately that his neighbor now had a 200-acre farm. And rather than being able to celebrate God's goodness and generosity, the farmer could not escape feelings of jealousy and feeling slighted because his neighbor received more, even though that was the caveat and part of the promise. He couldn't rejoice at not only his gifts, but his neighbor as well. And so after a lot of consideration, he made his third wish, and he wished that he would be blind in one eye. And God wept. how difficult it is to be gracious and accept the grace that's given to other folk that we might think don't deserve it. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, his translation, has some beautiful and poignant words on this chapter, and he says, "The whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith. A life open to God. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me. Only those who are able to celebrate God's grace poured upon others can experience that grace themselves." Amen.